this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry. My name is Dr. Martin Mendelson. I'm a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and thought leader. And I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who is a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And if you're unfamiliar with us, you can check our respective links, websites, course offerings. And we actually have an exciting announcement relative to that. We have updated our website, and our next iteration of Lightside Live will be May 9th and 10th of 2025, once again hosted by the wonderful people at Glidewell Dental Laboratory. So shout out to Glidewell for helping us put that course on in such an extraordinary fashion. And to that end, please go ahead and check out the website. We do have an early registration offer that is good through the end of January of 2025. We wanted to give people a little bit of time to get through the holidays and that kind of thing. But hey, if you pay for it this year, then you can deduct it on your taxes for this year. So, but seriously, we want to really thank everybody for all your support and, you know, for the reviews and the shares. And if you've found that this content really connects with you, please share it with your colleagues. Please drop us a review. That's the way, if you're unfamiliar, that's the way the interwebs get to know us and share us, through their own algorithms and so forth. And so kind of related to that in a fun way, today we're going to be discussing AI and mental health and how emerging technologies are reducing stress in dental workflows. And before we begin, we want to shout out to our listeners because Kyle and I both were kind of Where's Waldo last week. Kyle was in Europe and I was in LA at the LA Dental Symposium. And what a wonderful experience. Dr. Abdi Samini, I've known for so many years, who's put on this symposium. And I had so many people come up to me and say, thank you for your podcast. Thank you for your content. And things are really starting to connect because, you know, my slant these days, as many of you know, is the science of optimism. And that was the keynote that I presented with, by the way, no slides, just a learning map. And the reception to that was something I wasn't prepared for. So, you know, shout out to our listeners, shout out to everybody embracing wellness, mental health, and optimism in dentistry. And so, Kyle, I know, first of all, hello. And
hello.
I know that you have some things to share about your travels as well.
Yeah, I've been all over the place the last few months have been kind of wild. But yeah. A few weeks ago, I was in Minneapolis talking for hours and hours about mental health, which was really, really well received. Had people join Lightside Academy and really make the decision to master their mental and relational health and start putting some time and money and effort into this journey. And then, yeah, like you said, just what, 2 days ago now, I was in Cannes in the south of France, and I was hosting the Alpha Biotech Global Symposium. And Alpha Biotech is an implant company that is under the Envista umbrella. They're not in the US, but they're in a bunch of other countries around the world. And so I was hosting that event, but also they asked me to speak about mental health.
Very cool.
And I actually had some people giving me a standing ovation.
Wow.
And it was just so powerful. There were people from 22 countries. I mean, we had people from Albania and India and France and Germany and the Netherlands and, you know, Sweden and UK and, I mean, all over the place. And so many people said your presentation was so important. And it really spoke to me. It was like you were speaking directly to me.
Yes.
I had people come up to me afterwards and say, I'm canceling my Friday so that I can be with my family.
That's
I had people
amazing.
Come up and say, I'm going to start dismissing patients. I'm going to start making my health a priority. And it was like they were being action takers. They were taking what I was talking about and implementing this. And it was such a great feeling for me because after talking about clinical topics for the last 15 years, you still get a lot out of it, right? But there's something so emotional about connecting with another human being that usually is a dentist. And about that, I mean, we even had, and I didn't even tell you this, Martin, but the I think he's the president of the company, or maybe he's the general manager. He's like the top guy in the company. He came up to me afterwards and said, if you need a guest on your podcast to talk
Oh,
about
wow.
going through this on the industry side of dentistry, I'd be happy to. So he came up to me afterwards. He was the first one to stand up to start the standing ovation. He came to me after the break and he said, your lecture really resonated with me. I went up to my room during the break and I called my kids.
That's amazing. That's so cool. You
And
know,
he said, I've been traveling in the last, I forget what he said, in the last like 2 months, I've only been home 15 days. And he said, you really reminded me of what's important in life.
It's so cool. I mean, you and I speak, you know, on the same similar topic, but with very different slants, you know. And it's so wild to be up there and have those kind of conversations, because the LA Dental Symposium, you know, that was a very international meeting. And I had these people from Europe coming up to me before I even spoke that said, I'm looking forward to your presentation most. And these are like huge speakers of note with gorgeous presentations and people that, you know, I either had met before at Spear or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? And the people that would come up to me afterwards, similar. In my case, it was the, hey, can I talk to you conversations? And so this is really truly resonating with everybody. I'm so grateful that that people are listening, they're taking note, they're taking action, and they're in it to be present and to be better. So kudos to all of our colleagues for that.
I mean, kudos to you guys for not just listening to what we're saying and be like, oh yeah, that's kind of a good idea, but actually doing it, actually putting time and money and effort into this. And guess what happens when you put time, money, and effort into something? You get better at it, just like we did for clinical dentistry, just like you did with technology. And that's, you know, kind of a good transition to what we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely. So technology, AI, helping us be more efficient, reducing stress, and helping us get through the day without, you know, wanting to come home and collapse every day. No, we can't say that
I
about
mean, it's
all
funny.
days, but
This,
some days.
when you look at the title of today's episode, AI and Mental Health, I mean, this is like my jam, right? This is
Totally.
like 95% of what I'm going around the world teaching people about is AI and mental health. And when I started on this journey, I never would have thought that they could be spoken about together. I thought, like, well, this is technology over here, and this is stress, and this is mental health over here. But as I got deeper into it, and you know, we started Pearl and we grew it to be a very large company now in 120 countries, I started to see how this kind of technology, and I'll specifically talk about Pearl right now, but we'll get to other ones, is helping people re reduce stress. So, for example, for those of you that aren't familiar with what we do at Pearl, we analyze dental X-rays with the eyes of an expert through AI. So as you take a dental X-ray, there's going to be little areas circled and outlined and have squares and highlights and colors. And so what it allows you to do is have a non-bias opinion when you're giving a radiograph. Now, how does this reduce stress? Well, let's talk about how most people don't trust their dentist because it's so unfamiliar that you just kind of have to go off of their trust. And I've probably given this example before. But when you go to the mechanic, unless you know how to take an engine apart and you know what a timing belt is and you know where the spark plug is, if they tell you you need a new timing belt, you just go, okay. Or you say no, right? But if they could show you and say, look, this is what a normal timing belt looks like, and here's yours, and it's cracked and it's broken and it's not working, then you go, oh, okay, I kind of get that. And the same thing is true with radiographs, is if you show a non-dentist a radiograph, many times they go, are those toes? And you're like, what are you talking about? Right? But if you say, look, there's this pink area here, that's decay. You see how it's progressing into the green area? That's called your dentin. That's a sensitive part of your tooth. So what I didn't learn, what I didn't realize when we were starting Pearl was that we were actually building trust with patients that then reduce stress for the dentist and the patient.
So I'll take that and I'll go one farther. I'm going to say it reduces stress in another way as well, which is this. When we interpret radiographs, it is a interpretation. And for many of us, we'll look at something, we'll look at a radiographic image and say, well, is it this or is it not? Well, should I then therefore say something if I'm not sure? So not only is it reducing stress from the patient perspective, I'm going to also say it reduces stress from the doctor perspective because it's the second opinion, quote unquote, for the doctor as well, to give the doctor the self-confidence to actually bring it up as appropriate, knowing that the AI has his or her back in presenting the treatment. And also, let's call it what it is too, because one of the things I love about the technology is, you know, the ability to go into the whole library of radiographic images and say, you know, there's 23 undiagnosed this and 56 undiagnosed that. I think that's just so killer to know that when you're interpreting a radiograph, now you're not missing anything. And I think that's
Totally.
really powerful. You know, I use Grammarly in my day-to-day work, and I'll tell you, it's a plugin that's ubiquitous across everything I do. And I used to get so stressed out, believe it or not, posting on LinkedIn, because I was like, if I miss a comma or a period or whatever, and that technology, which is also AI-driven, has completely reduced my stress because I know it's like, if I see that little green whatever, we're good, right? And
That's such a
it's
great
the same thing.
example, Martin. That's a really great example because I use Grammarly too. And yeah, you make little mistakes and it reduces your stress. It makes
It's
you
amazing.
better.
It's
And
amazing.
how I, you know, going back to what we did at Pearl, when we got our first 9 FDA approvals, what we found was when you take a dentist and you, most dentists are pretty good, right? I mean, we're pretty good. We radiographs all the time. Anytime you add AI to the dentist, they always got better. Sometimes it was a little bit better, sometimes it was a lot better. But what that shows you is we make mistakes. We're humans. We have good days, we have bad days. But when you add technology to us, we always get better. And I think we can extrapolate that to all aspects of dentistry. And when you get better, you then reduce your stress usually because you become more predictable.
You just reminded me of one of my favorite stories of when I worked full time at a lab, because this was 2004 or 5, something like that. And so CEREC wasn't exactly in its infancy, but from a market share perspective, it was. And this doc came up to me at a meeting and he goes, I bet you all hate CEREC at the lab. And I looked at him, I said, why do you say that? And he said, well, because, you know, then we take our business, you know, we do it all in-house. And I looked at him and I said, actually, we love it. I said, because let me tell you something, we have data that shows that in the beginning, your business drops off and then it picks back up again. And guess what? All of a sudden, instead of single units, all of a sudden now it's more complex cases, which for us are actually more profitable. I said, and oh, by the way, given the fact that you can see your prep on this massive monitor versus an intraoral mirror, you get better and your prep's improved. And we've tracked that too. He looked at me just with this look of just dumbfoundedness on his face. And I said, nope, we love it. We absolutely love it. So.
Yeah, you brought something up that I relate to now, you know, being the clinical director of a lab is how we do design review before we go to manufacturing on a lot of cases. So this is an example of technology that we've had for a long time, right? We've had 3D design for a long time. But now you have companies like exocad that make it very easy to send a little web link. So let's go back, all right? Let's go back to before we had this. You do a 6-unit veneer case. You send it to the lab and you say, you know, I wanted this shape and I want these embrasures and I want this. They send it back, you try it in, doesn't look great. Right, you don't like how the laterals relate to the centrals, the embrasures aren't right, you'd like the mesial concavity to be a little different, etc. So the patient's kind of pissed off. They wanted, you know, they're going away for the weekend, they wanted to have their new teeth, they didn't want to use provisionals. You realize you may have wasted $440 per hour per chair. You send it back to the lab. The lab is kind of pissed off. They're frustrated. Now they have to redo it again, and they're probably redoing it for free. They're not charging you again. Now, the difference is really opening the communication. And that is just sending a simple link to the doctor's cell phone or to their email. The doctor clicks on it, he or she looks and says, "Oh, this looks good. Go to manufacturing." Now, you can still have color changes or you can still have things you need to change, but a big portion of that is done. But if they don't like it, they simply say, "Hey, lengthen the centrals a little bit more, and can you make the left canine a little sharper on that incisal edge?" They send another one back. You say, "Yeah, okay, we're good," and you go forward. Now, when the patient comes in, you go to try it in, you know the shape is going to be right. The margins may not work still, the contacts may still be open or whatever, but the shape is going to be right.
And it makes you more of a hero, because all from a shout out perspective, like your content relative to, predictability and always using the term try in, never insert. And so, now we're conjoining verbal skills and technology, and we're going to walk into that appointment, even though we said it's a try in and there's no expectations. Yet we're going to walk in there with a greater level of steadfastness or security or whatever, because we know it's a greater likelihood of acceptance because of the use of technology. And then you look like a hero when they're like, "Oh, I thought you said we were going to try it in." Nope, we're good. So it's how cool is it as a 1-2 punch using technology and really thinking about your verbal and soft skills,
Well, as I'm looking at some of the
paralyzed.
technology that we're going to talk about today, I'm kind of boiling it all down to predictability and communication.
Totally.
And that's really what it's all about. So, some of the ones I wanted to talk about today: patient reminders, remote ortho, AI and radiographs, saliva testing, digital smile design, guided surgery. I mean, let's talk about guided surgery right now. One of the reasons why I got into guided surgery was to reduce my stress.
Totally.
So when I got out of residency, I was placing implants in private practices, and in general, I was pretty good, okay? But 80% of the time, I would take the x-ray and go, it's like a little distal. It's not huge, but it's like, I would love it to be a teeny bit more mesial. And then somettimes I would take it out, use a Lindemann burr, fix that. Sometimes I would leave it, and then I would just think about it the whole weekend or the whole week and waiting till the patient came back. And I may struggle with the restoration, and really it caused me a lot of stress, even though it's like a half a millimeter sometimes. But that half a millimeter can cause difficulty in the restoration. That can cause difficulty in like a food trap. It could cause all kinds of occlusion issues. So when I talked to one of my early mentors, a guy named Ziv Simon, who's just a great periodontist, and we went out to lunch, and he was saying, maybe you should probably incorporate guided surgery. He said, if you're going to be placing implants and if you're going to be doing it at a high level, why don't you start doing guided surgery continuously, strictly for to reduce your stress? And he's so
Absolutely.
right that when I started taking radiographs at the end of my appointments, I would just go, "Yep, that's right. That was how I
There you
planned it."
go. Yeah.
And my stress was so much less.
Yeah.
It made it more predictable as well. My patients got better experiences, and that grew my practice.
Totally. Totally. I love that. Shout out to Ziv, because something that I've run into quite a bit with specialists, particularly surgical specialists, just in my career. Let's think about what Ziv did. Ziv is talking to you. Now, granted, you had, training in Brazil as a surgical residency, like you're not exactly, your average Joe or Jane. But if you look at the data, more and more and more GPs are placing implants. And so as a specialist, you can look at that and be mad at it, or you can look at it as a reality and think about what Ziv did. He was there for you. He was a mentor. He gave you guidance. And
And I referred a ton of stuff to him too, which is fun.
bingo. And look what just happened, even psychologically. You were like, "This great periodontist, he's my mentor, et cetera, et cetera." Think about how you look at him. And so, it was a little tangential from our topic here, but just for people to take a step back and understand, when we're there for each other collegially in relationship, that builds bonds, and those bonds end up creating deep ties, and those deep ties then end up translating into, let's call it what it is, business. So
yeah, and
something to be considered.
And I think I've told you this story, Martin, and I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, is when we moved into our practice has 52 dentists in the building, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. 9-story building, and we had one oral surgeon.
Yeah.
And he asked me to go out to lunch when we first moved in. And I was mm-hmm. kind of nervous because I was like, does he know that like I do wisdom teeth and I do bone grafts and I place implants and I do sinus lifts and I kind of do maybe 60% of the things that he does, right? A lot of his bread and butter. And so went out to lunch. He took me out to a nice sushi lunch, and he's a great guy. His name's David Salahani. And mm-hmm. at the end, I said like, hey, you know, I'll send you some wisdom teeth cases. And mm-hmm. he was like, we can just be friends. And I was
love
like,
that.
Oh my gosh. Now, what happened in this relationship?
Yeah.
Yes, I still did wisdom teeth. I still did implants. But there were cases that I didn't want to do.
Yep.
There were cases that I thought were better handled by the oral mm-hmm. surgeon. You know, whether the wisdom teeth were easy, but maybe the medical history was more challenging. Or exactly. I thought the sedation was going to be challenging and I don't want to deal with that. Maybe they needed general sedation instead of conscious sedation, like what I was mm-hmm. offering. We referred a ton of stuff to him, and we have a great relationship. He's just a great guy.
Totally.
And so I love that tangent. And that, I can't remember if we've talked about that on the podcast. Maybe we should do a whole episode on that.
On?
Like specialist relationships.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Maybe we can even bring my buddy Ben on, who you know, who built his whole general practice on the relationship with specialists and getting referred in reverse. Ben was a master at that. He built such a great practice, and he's since moved on, different state, different life circumstances. But Ben's fantastic and is a really good example of what great continuing education, great treatment planning, and great relationships in concert can do for our general restorative practice.
Yeah. Let's talk about another technology, which is remote orthodontics.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you that are listening, you may not be familiar with it because it's somewhat of a new technology, maybe in the last 6 years or so. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so basically what this is let's say you have an aligner case mm-hmm. and you see your patient every, I don't know, 6 weeks, every mm-hmm. 8 weeks. They're coming in, you're giving them new aligners, checking to make sure everything's fitting. Now, most of these appointments are fairly easy. You schedule 15 minutes. All you're doing is giving them aligners. Like the best mm-hmm. appointment of your week, right? Yeah. So easy, you think. But as you're walking back to the patient, your assistant comes to you and says, Dr. Stanley, Mrs. Jones is in the chair. She lost her last two aligners, and the attachment on the upper central and the lower canine has fallen off.
Mm.
Now, you have 15 minutes. But this 15-minute appointment now is going to take an hour.
Yep.
You need to do a new scan. You may need to do new photos. You have to find an old template to put the attachment on.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an easy case, right?
Yeah.
Now, let's change to using remote orthodontics. So what remote orthodontics does is that you have a little viewer that your phone can fit in, okay? And it's attached to something that has retractors. So mm-hmm. the patient holds the phone in front of their mouth, and they go left to right, and they take a little video. Mm-hmm. Now, every modern phone that we have has 60 frames per second.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting hundreds of photos.
Mm-hmm.
AI is analyzing these photos and then saying, this lower central incisor isn't tracking, or mm-hmm. this upper premolar has maybe some gingivitis, or maybe there's mm-hmm. some plaque, or maybe an attachment has fallen off.
Mm-hmm.
The patient has an app that they can, that you can have them take a scan however often you want. So mm-hmm. you can do every day, every 3 days, every 10 days, every 2 weeks, every month, whatever it is, you can be constantly aware of what's happening in their mouth. Now,
that's cool.
Why does that reduce stress? Because you know exactly what to schedule. Let's go back to that scheduling one. You wouldn't schedule her for 15 minutes. Because you knew that attachments were gone, it's not tracking, maybe she lost a liner. So then you can schedule correctly. So then you don't have the stress anymore. Also, with this kind of technology, you can be more predictable.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this thing that we do in dentistry where we make these blanket statements. So we say, you know, like back in the day with implants, it was 9 months you had to wait. Then it was 6 months. Maybe it's 3 months now. Some people are doing 6 weeks, whether your implant comes in water or something. And we did that with ortho. You know, I had Invisalign 20 years ago. We were doing it for 3 or 4 weeks per tray. It took forever. Now, you know, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was 2 weeks. Then maybe 7 years ago, we said, oh, maybe 7 days, because now we have new technology. And some are even doing 5 days or 3 days now. Some people are doing 3 days on kids or 5 days on kids. But the answer should be you change the tray when it's ready to be changed. And that is individual for each patient. And it's even individual for each tray. So I'm wearing aligners right now. I should change the tray when it's ready. And that's kind of what I do because I'm a dentist, you know? So I have my orthodontist prescribing this, but she says, change the tray when it's ready, right? And so we become more predictable with this kind of technology. We save time. We save chair time because you can do remote appointments. So think about how you're reducing that chair time, right? $440 per hour per chair. And if you're reducing your chair time by half, guess what? Your overhead just went way down on these cases. And the patients don't want to see us anyways. They don't want to get childcare and take time off of work and drive across town and park and spend the money. And so you can be more predictable, which then reduces your stress.
That's really wild. And I love the technology from a patient engagement perspective too, and how it sets your office apart, particularly if you get good at explaining things concisely and comprehensively. And I mean, let's look at certain realities that are afoot, like, people that are doing home ortho, gosh forbid, and making home night guards and so forth. So, granted, these are probably not the same patient pools, but here's my point. You have all these people that are looking at the idea of why can't I do this at home? So you get the people that think they should be able to do everything by themselves, and obviously I have opinions on that. But we also have the people that are in our chairs and are in our record, so to speak, as patients of record, who will then therefore be more turned on and tuned in because of the use of these technologies, because they're participating more. There's a greater level of ownership in the process, which, I mean, if you look at other areas of leadership and engagement, like the minute there's ownership and participation, all of a sudden compliance goes up. And so
Wow, that's a good point.
it's a really fascinating thing when you look at it even more broadly from like a 30,000 foot level, and how it can set your practice apart and reduce the stress at the same time. Because I even envision a point where, think of it this way. Let's say you're in a general practice or orthodontic practice, doesn't matter, and you're using this remote ortho technology, and you have the ability to allow your patients to schedule because you're doing these checks on certain days between certain brackets. Now, all of a sudden, you're reducing the stress of your front office team to make these appointments. You know you're making them correctly because of AI. Like, I just see all kinds of opportunities here.
That's a great point. I mean, I didn't even think about that till you said it, but we can reduce the stress of the entire practice by doing something like this. I mean, just reducing appointments puts less stress on your team, your front office team that's making phone calls, trying to sneak people in and, you know, get them in on emergency cases. That's a great point. I didn't even think about that.
I mean, it goes to another piece of technology, which is confirmation of appointments. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of anybody that I deal with that confirms an appointment that doesn't do it over text. Now, I know that there's still a lot of people out there. It's just not the people that I engage with, but I'm vain. I don't care. Even my Botox people, it's that's over text. And I gotta tell you, there was something not that long ago, I didn't remember what it was, where they confirmed via phone, and it like annoyed me because I had to call them back. And I was like, why do I have to take the time to call you back? And so I love that kind of example, because I call that a technological delegation. Because oftentimes when I teach delegation, one of the first words out of my mouth is, please remember, delegation is not necessarily to a person. It could be to a process and a technology. And so it's a bit of delegation, in my opinion. So
yeah, and that example of patient reminders so ubiquitous now that nobody would think that's like big technology, right? Like, well, of
it
course we have
was.
patient reminders, right? I mean, it was what, like 15 years ago? But think of how that reduces the stress. And I think this can almost reduce everybody's stress in the practice just with this kind of technology, right?
Yeah.
More than likely, if someone confirms they're going to show up. If they don't confirm, then you can start calling, you can start emailing, and you can start saying like, hey, I don't think they're going to come.
Yeah. And I don't know what the data is because I've never looked at it, but the kind of docs that you and I interact with, they all have this technology. But I wonder, based on the totality of their profession, how many people are actually doing it, because digital radiography has been around a long time. I think it's a fair statement that the vast majority of clinicians are utilizing that technology. But I also know that there's a lot of offices out there that are not.
That's true.
So
and with patient reminders, you think traditionally then those patient reminders were phone calls.
Yep.
That means your team is calling, and if they're sitting in the front, if they're on the phone, they're not able to take care of the patients that are in front of them.
Absolutely.
So then your patients in the practice can be more stressed, feel not as important. And so I think that you can almost argue that even a very simple technology like patient reminders, I mean, this isn't crazy AI, computer vision, CAD/CAM, right? This is just simple patient reminders
Yeah.
to really reduce the stress in your practice.
I would actually challenge people to sit down and think about the kinds of things that they could delegate to technology or services. Because oftentimes, not oftentimes, all the time, we get so caught up in our own day-to-day and our own busyness that we just accept things for the way they are. And I'd kind of be curious if people would take the time to step back and think about, okay, so let's look at all of the tasks of our front office team and which of those things can be delegated. Or even if you don't know, think about the what could be uncovered by simply just making that list and then going onto the interwebs and simply looking up a company like Weave or a company like CareStack or any of those companies and see the integrative telephony, there you go, technologies that they have integrated in their platforms, and you compare that to your list. And then you start to see where the opportunities are for technology and or AI integration, or with AI integration, to reduce your stress in practice. It's, I don't know how many people do that, because I think usually what ends up happening is you're in a meeting or of any type, and then you come it comes to your awareness that Weave has these technologies or CareStack or whoever.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, I didn't realize you had that. Oh, maybe. But what if you were more proactive at it?
Right. I mean, when you talk about that, I think about it as what we talk about all the time, which is awareness.
Yeah.
It's just creating the awareness for yourself. You don't have to solve the problem there.
Yeah.
But remember, a problem understood is a problem half solved. So if we make that list, and you may find one thing and you say, oh, well, yeah, you know, Jane or John at the front, like you're spending 80% of your time doing this. We could have you interact with the patients better and welcome them, do this and that and that. If we took this away from you, and that's only going to cost $300 a month, like that's easy, you know?
Totally.
And
totally,
it's more
totally.
efficient, and patients may even like it. And it may cause patients to, like in patient reminders, to show up better, which keeps our chairs full, which grows our production, which reduces our overhead. I mean, there's so many things that this relates to.
Absolutely.
One thing I'd like to talk about in a little more clinical fashion is saliva testing.
Yeah.
You know, saliva testing is becoming very popular. One of my friends that was talking about this fairly early, her name's Victoria Sampson from the UK. And It's kind of like taking blood. When you go to your GP, if you have a yearly checkup, more than likely they're going to do a blood test, right? And they're going to check, oh, how are your white blood cells and, what's your insulin like? And you may even get your hormones checked if you're in, my age, things like this. And so it's just like a general way of checking with more information than just looking. And I think we can do that now with technology, with saliva testing. And what's important with that for me is that it gives the patient more information to make a decision. It also gives the doctor more information to make a decision. And so I would relate it back to like how, remember Angelina Jolie had that that gene where she was more likely to have breast cancer. Now, whether you agree or not agree with her, what she did, but she ended up having a double mastectomy. But what I like about that is it gave the patient more information to make a medical decision off of data, right? She could have said, no, I don't want to. I'll take the chance. But and she chose, and again, whether you agree or disagree, she chose to say, well, I'm going to have double mastectomy to avoid having this, right? And I think it's the same thing with saliva testing. Like in the implant world, implants are fairly predictable, modern implants. 94, 97% of the time they integrate, right? So if you do 100, 97 of them are probably going to integrate. What that means is you have three that aren't going to integrate, and those cases are annoying. They suck. The
Well,
patient's annoyed by it.
tell me about it, because I was one of those three percenters.
Oh,
So
that's
there you
right.
go.
That's right. So the patient's annoyed by it. The doctor's annoyed, the team's annoyed, there's additional overhead, there's additional time, the patient has to go through additional surgeries. It's annoying. But what if you had the saliva test and it was able to show that you have this specific bacteria in your mouth that you're more likely to have implant failure? And so maybe it's something that can be fixed, right, with periodontal therapy beforehand, or antibiotics beforehand, or probiotics, or something like this. Or maybe it's not, and it's just something we have to accept. But then the conversation is, Mrs. Jones, Mr. Jones, we're going to place this implant. After doing our saliva test, we did find out that although our average, failure rate, I know you don't like the F word, failure rate on implants is 4%, you have a 60% chance of needing a revision surgery. And so I just want to tell you that it's up to you if you want to go forward or not, but you're much higher likely to have to need some kind of revision surgery.
And I think of the two examples, because let's look at our medical colleagues. So first of all, I had that same genetic testing, because not only is there breast cancer in my family, there's male breast cancer in my family,
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
sibling male breast cancer in my family.
Wow.
So
That's
I
pretty
had both
rare,
the
right?
very, and so I had both the breast and colon genetic testing. And so thankfully I don't have the markers. And so that was a great thing. So I can tell you from personal experience how, from a patient perspective, what that can do. The other is a really close friend of mine who has very chronic sinus problems, sinusitis problems, went to their ENT and was excited to share this with me. Talk about technology. They don't culture anymore. They do DNA analysis. And so what happened was they went in and they put them on their first antibiotic, I forget what it was, that would be normally what would treat and conquer the microbes. In this case, it was a Pseudomonas infection. And
Interesting.
they only found that out because of the DNA analysis, which then did what? It reduced, listen to me, reduced the stress of the ENT, because now he knew they hit it on the head, gave the patient the correct antibiotic, and then had to add a couple cocktails to that r to really knock it down. But and then it gives greater surety of the patient. And think about this scenario. This friend of mine told me this. So they were impressed by it. And that's really why I bring it up. Think about what this technology does for patients, right? My dear friend Cynthia Bradisani, who has been working with the STA device for years, a single tooth anesthesia device that's software mediated local delivery. And she claims it's built her practice like nobody's business because the patient gets profoundly numb. They have a great experience. It doesn't hurt, quote unquote, like it typically does. And that piece of technology has built her practice. And she's had new patient after new patient say, yeah, I'm here because Susie and Johnny told me about how you give local and how it was painless. That's technology.
It's a great example, and I like that you said that because that's more of an analog technology,
Yeah,
right? I
totally.
mean, it involves some
Totally.
digital aspect, but it's
Yeah.
more of an analog technology.
Yeah.
And I think that when many of us think about technology, and especially our title today, right, AI and mental health, how we think it has to be this digital crazy stuff, but so many of these very simple
Yeah.
technologies can really decrease our
Yeah.
stress.
And so I want to tell a different story and then make a point, which is this. I remember talking to one of my periodontist friends who I was coaching, and he was telling me that every night after the kids go to bed, he sits there like doing his letters and his notes till like 10 o'clock at night. And then a colleague oral surgeon at the time was using this different AI-driven technology with templates, et cetera, and she's like, why the heck are you doing that? And so he changed his what he's doing, and now all of a sudden he doesn't write notes and letters till 10 o'clock at night. And so my point is this, going back to that list idea, because in my course, my online course, Leadership Mastery, I challenge people to do a time and task audit.
So important.
And so you literally, I mean, it may, depending on who you are and what you do, it may take you a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks just to get your patterns down. But it's so important to understand, you know, I'm spending 4 hours a night at home. This is what I'm doing within the night. Oh my gosh, if I were able to eliminate this, like the notes, how much time would that give me? So taking a step back and just looking at what your life is like and what you're doing during those hours, then considering, okay, what technologies can help me, can be a complete game changer for your life.
A good point, and something that we haven't talked about with the previous, I mean, maybe we touched on a little bit with previous technology, is saving time.
Yeah. Oh,
Now that
totally.
can reduce your stress so much.
Totally.
I mean, saving time in the chair especially
Yeah.
is really valuable because it's expensive time, and it's time when a patient is usually numb, nervous,
Totally.
sedated,
Totally.
scared. So anytime you can do that, that's going to build your practice too. You go
Totally.
back to your friend's example with the sinusitis, and he it was a he, right? And he said, he told you about this, right? How
Yeah.
many people are telling their friends about their ENT?
Right.
Probably
And I'm
not.
not even an ENT, in case you
Yeah.
noticed, right?
And he told you about this because it saved him time.
Right.
They didn't do six different antibiotics and then
No.
say, oh my gosh, I don't know what this is, right?
Yeah.
They did the most common, then they did a DNA test and they found out what it was and then gave him the prescription or did the surgery, whatever it was
Yeah.
that fixed it. And, had he gone in 4 or 5 times, paid for
Yeah.
all this, taking time off
Yeah.
of work and school and got childcare for his kids and changed his whole
Yeah.
life around, it would have been super annoying.
And the reason why he told me it is this. And it's a very interesting and important thing to bring up, because then the ENT said, you know, this is typically this is like anaerobic bacteria. This is typically seen with oral infections. And so this friend of mine doesn't have a restoration in his head, but to be thorough, he called up one of my buddies in endodontist, had a head CT done to eliminate that. And so he was so excited at the thoroughness of this all. Now, granted, did they find any oral origin, infection origins? No, but he didn't care. He thought it was super cool, the depths and extent of the treatment that the ENT was le levying based on technological use. Granted, it's, you know, a test, not pure technology, but it's the same idea.
If we boil this all down, when we look at AI, technology, how these old technology or new
Yeah.
technology
Yeah.
can
Yeah.
reduce stress in our dental
Yeah.
workflows, it comes down to being predictable, increasing communication,
Yep.
and saving time.
Absolutely.
And I don't think there's any dentist or patient out there that doesn't want to be more predictable,
Totally.
increase our communication and save their time.
So let's talk about another example that you and I saw that I know blew both of our minds. So when we did our last Lightside Live workshop at GlideWell, they took us on a tour and they were sharing how they track cases today. And they use cameras connected to AI that evaluate the dimensions and the volume of the restoration to know that it goes with Martin Mendelsohn versus Kyle Stanley. That blew my mind. And for those
That
that
was crazy.
That was nuts. And for those who've never spent any time in a lab, trust me when I tell you, things get lost on occasion and can take 10, 20, 30, 60 minutes to pair up something that was lost with a case. So that's where my mind went. And talk about technology. Holy smokes. So it's an important time and efficiency saver to look into these technologies and to invest in the time to investigate them as well as the time to deploy and integrate them.
So any final words from you, Martin, on thinking about integrating technology, not to look cool in front of your patients, but selfishly to feel better and to reduce your stress?
I really think it goes down to just looking at your life and evaluating how you're spending your time. And within the confines of how you're spending your time, which of those activities are driving stress? And then take a look at that inventory in light of the modern technologies that are out there to see if there can't be a marriage between need and supply, if you will, of technologies that are available. I think that would be my parting words.
Yeah, and for Martin and I, who we both used to practice full time, I think we know, just like you who do practice full time, dentistry is stressful. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably at some point have been in a stressful position, and so you're maybe looking for resources on this. And I would say leverage technology as much as you can. Sometimes even when it's expensive, it's worth it when you think of the time and the effort you save and the stress and the thinking about cases on the weekends. Sometimes I would pay all that money over again to not have some of that stress in my life and in my practice. So if you enjoyed what we're talking about today, please, like Martin said, share this with a colleague, put it on Instagram, tag us. We'd love to see what resonates with you. This will help us do more episodes on what resonates with you guys most. And if you want to spend 2 days with us, make sure to sign up. You can go to wellnessanddentistry.com, click on our links, and you'll find our Lightside Live course, which is May 9th and 10th in Irvine, California. Great place to come. You can bring your family. We're close to Disneyland. We're close to Newport Beach. We're close to Laguna Beach. We're very close. It's actually walking distance from Santa Ana Airport,
It is.
so John Wayne Airport. So it's very easy place to come to, and especially in May, like Orange County in May, it's pretty darn awesome.
Agreed.
So make sure to come and join us. It's going to be a great one. We've already got a lot of people interested. So we hope to see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye.